Welcome to Shear number 3, and here we're going to delineate some of the basic rules regarding brachos. There is a positive commandment, an asay in the Torah, to recite a bracha after eating bread, assuming that you ate enough to be satisfied. And this is based on Devarim 8:10, where the Torah says, V'yachal tov v'savato v'rachta s'ashem elokacha, and we call this benching or birkas hamazon. Chazal extended this to one who eats a kezayis worth of bread. So even though you're not satisfied, you rabbinically need to bench. Chazal also set up all the rest of the brachos that we make, and there are three categories of brachos. The first is known as birchos hanene. Those are recited on something that we benefit from. And included in this category are the brachos that we recite on food and drink before we eat, as well as the bracha that we say after we eat, assuming you ate the requisite amount. We could also add brachos on items that we smell into this group. The second group are brachos that we say before performing a mitzvah, and these are known as birchos hamitzvos. And number three, the final category, are brachos of thanks and praise to God, birchos ha'udah, and birchos ha'shavach. And these brachos were set up to assist us remembering God on a consistent basis, and to fear Him even when we are not having direct benefit from something and not performing any specific mitzvah. Ezra and his beis din, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, set up the brachos that we recite, and they also set up that every bracha must have Shemu Malchus in it, and this means that we must mention God's name, and we also need to mention that God is the King over the world. If a bracha is lacking these characteristics, so it's not a bracha, and therefore one would need to recite the bracha again. One must also say the word Baruch at the beginning of a bracha. However, if you miss the word Atah, then b'diavad you have fulfilled your obligation, and the result of all this is that one must, at the very least, say Baruch Hashem Melech HaOlam, followed by the actual bracha, and then your Yodzei b'diavad. There are two types of brachos. One is called a bracha Ketzara, a short bracha, and the other is called a bracha arukah, a long bracha. The short bracha is defined as one, which is one praise, and does not have a bracha at the end. And examples of this would be brachos on fruit or on mitzvos. When you pick up an apple and you recite a ha'etz or a lulav, and you say an al netilas lulav. So these are what we call brachos kitzaros. A bracha arukah, on the other hand, has an extended praise in it, a supplication, or a request for something. They all open with a bracha and conclude with a bracha. So an example would be Asher Yotzar, or benching. A bracha arukah only requires Shemu Malchus at the beginning, but at the end, it only needs God's name. However, if you have a bracha arukah followed by another bracha arukah, the second is connected to the first and will not need to begin with the Baruch Atah formula at all. So for example, the bracha of Ahava Rabba does not begin with Baruch, as it comes directly off of Yotzer HaMa'oros. Some other examples would include the entire Shemona Esrei, excluding the first bracha, as well as the second and third brachos in benching. At the end of a bracha arukah, no matter if it is connected to another bracha, it must have Hashem's name, and if not, you need to recite the entire thing again. One is, of course, not allowed to change the wording of any bracha. However, if one accidentally did, or you added or subtracted any words, if it did not lose the basic bracha, then you have fulfilled your obligation. Of course, you definitely said Baruch Hashem Melech HaOlam, and you did not change the essence of the bracha. So for example, you did not make a long bracha into a short bracha, or a short one into a long one. It must be fitting for whatever it is set on. So for example, if one said a ha'etz on a vegetable, and they're not yotze, one may shorten a bracha for a minor in order to teach it to them. You can recite a bracha in any language, but you must understand that language. However, if you use the formula that Chazal set up in Lashon HaKodesh, you have fulfilled your obligation no matter if you understand the words or not. And it should be self-explanatory that if you recite a bracha in a different language, it must include Shema Malchus and cannot be lacking in any manner. And the best way, of course, to say a bracha is to say the way Chazal instituted it in Lashon HaKodesh. When a person says a bracha, you must hear the words that you are saying. However, if you did not hear your words, your yotze if you moved your lips while you said the bracha. But if one only thought a bracha, it doesn't count. However, if a person is sick or for whatever reason they're unable to recite a bracha, then you should think the bracha, but we're not sure that such a bracha is effective, and therefore, if, let's say, this individual ate enough bread that he is full, and then he benched by thinking the words, and then he has a very quick recovery, right, within the proper span, where he still needs to bench, then you need to bench again. So this ends shir number 3, where we began to discuss some of the general rules related to brachos, and in shir number 4, we're going to continue the same discussion.